until 8 o'clock, it's worth $25.
It'd probably save me a lot of money, but no.
$25, it's all.
Yeah, it's.
Nothing.
So that's just for the whole season?
Yeah.
And they give you a free thermostat too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they did. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. I got a Google Nest for nothing.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, no, no. I had, I bought mine before and then I opted into the.
Don't you think they take away your incentive if you?
What's that?
I don't think they take away your incentive if you.
You have to participate in some number.
Yeah.
Two or something.
Okay, it's six. I'm gonna say we go ahead and get started. Jeff?
Call the meeting to order. Any, we don't have any new members here today, so I guess just a call to order. Bo?
Here.
Dean?
Here.
Jeff, I'm here. Thane?
Thane is not here.
Horstman?
Here.
All right. And then Janice?
Janice is no longer on. Sorry, you're looking at an old, you're looking at an old list. That's on, that's my fault. What we do have.
And.
Who is new?
Okay. Do we want to do a quick introduction so he knows who else?
Yeah, would you like us to do some introductions so you check where everybody is?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know, I'll start because I'm sitting down here. I'm Clark Guy. I'm the assistant city engineer. Myself and Eric, who is the public works director, typically liaise these meetings. So we run them, provide agendas and talk you through what's going on at staff level. I'd like to make it your meeting. So I try to stay out of it unless you guys have questions for me. So that's who I am.
And I know.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead, Carol. You're good.
Carol Bragg, I'm on the city council, so I'm the council liaison to the utility advisory board.
Dean Wood, you've met once or twice before. Been in Westland since 1999 and been on the board for 5 years somewhere on there. But yeah, it's great getting engaged in the utility advisory board. Bo Janeau, I've lived in Westland for about 3 years now. I got involved with the utility advisory board because I come from Los Angeles and I didn't move someplace to fight over water.
I'm Carson Keeper. I've also been here for about 3 years. This is just my second board meeting. My background is the electric utility industry. I've worked for federal electric utilities.
I'm Lynn Chacoine. I've lived in Westland since 1990. So been here a while. It's all grown. I am civil engineer, environmental engineer. Most of my career was here in Oregon and working on utilities, mostly wastewater, some water in Oregon. As a consultant for 35 years, and then I was position Jeff has now as program manager for Clacking Swiss. 7 years.
So how'd you land on the UAB?
I wanted to do it when I retired, but there weren't any openings. And I had to cross it. And so anyway, I served when we first moved here, I served on the solid waste and recycling committee. That was a lot of fun.
And Lynn knows me. I worked for with Lynn at West.
What's that? Anyway, I also volunteered at the library.
Well, happy to have you, Lynn. Thanks for joining.
Yeah.
All right.
Next would be approval of last month's meeting minutes. Any comments first? So I had one comment, and we had talked about, Clark, we had talked about making sure, you know, we're the utility advisory committee, not just specifically water. And so I really would like to kind of expand the information we're getting here to include sewers as well as water, at least the public utilities that are provided. I made that comment. I didn't see it captured in the notes anywhere. And so I just want to kind of just, it should be captured. And I think it's something that, whether it's I can work with you, Clark, or Eric to kind of see what that might look like. I think it's something that I think would be good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we will make sure that is noted this time around. And we will, Jeff, maybe try to set up something with Eric when he gets back to look into that a little rose of what that actually looks like as far as what additional information we can provide right now.
Sure. I just have a comment on that. We can perhaps include that in the work plan information for the utility advisory board so that it gets then approved by the city council that the UAB will be looking at water, wastewater, surface water.
Can we also surface water is important. For sewer, can we be specific and say collection? Because it is different than the city doesn't provide treatment.
So I think we have to be specific that it's only for collection.
Yes.
Yes. And since that hasn't been approved yet, we can.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Is there a charter where we'd have to look at the language and revise that accordingly? Or is that something that council has to look at and approve? Or what is.
There is a charter.
Yeah.
And it's not clear.
Yes, not clear.
Do we need to revise or add clarity or something with respect to the charter? Do we need to modify it then?
I think we probably need to look at it a little closer and and make that distinction.
And we can now ask Haley and see from the legal perspective, how would it be interpreted? Could it be interpreted broadly like I think we all want it to be? Because if it's in the charter to change it, it has to go to the voters.
Sure. But that's a good point. We can have our new in-house attorney review it and see if
there's any conflicts or
give her opinion on whether it's broad enough to find that it can include everything, or whether like girl said, we have to send it back for a vote if we want to change it.
Okay.
I don't think we're changing anything, we're just being specific.
Yeah, but even to be specific, we gotta change her. I'll make a note to have Haley take a look at it.
Over to Clark, and that, like, in between meetings, if there's anything you guys need for me to help facilitate that, let me know.
Okay.
That was my only comment on the minutes from last meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve with those notes?
I'll make a motion to approve the what are we approving? The meeting notes from the February, April 8th meeting with the notes regarding wastewater.
Surface water.
And surface water.
Second.
Anybody opposed? So we'll approve the meeting minutes with the notes to continue to discuss the collection and surface water as the utility advisory committee.
Let's also call water drinking water. Maybe. So thought.
Let's dive into the weeds on us on day one here.
And then I don't, next on the agenda would be public comment.
Yeah, I don't, we don't have anybody.
In anybody online.
I have something I'd like to raise, I think maybe the public comment period would be a separate place to do that, but I could also wait until the capital project updates. Works better. Okay, well.
I think.
Go ahead, yeah, okay. I live in the Robinwood neighborhood where some of the capital improvement project is happening. And I've heard a fair amount of frustration from my neighbors at this point. I see the communication with this project. I get the sense that a lot of people weren't aware that there were plans to completely repave, and the last that we've really seen of the contractors in that neighborhood was about a month ago. And so I get the strong impression from my neighbors that they felt that they were just kind of stuck with this sort of very patchy job, and didn't really have any sense of what the next steps were or whether or not there were next steps. So I would just like to propose in future capital projects that we take, I don't know, I think that they're probably pretty simple measures to make sure the residents of that neighborhood are. My understanding is that door hangers were distributed to people who lived on Upper Mid Hill Drive and on Arbor Drive, but not to anybody else who was from there. But the issue is that Upper Mid Hill and Arbor are the streets that people take to get to Highway 43 from my neighborhood. It's the only way to do it. The only other street that leaves my neighborhood is Sky Parkway, which takes you to Rosemont. So what I propose is simply adding maybe a secondary sign underneath the, you know, City of Westland improvement project sign that just says start date, end date. This is what we want to accomplish. And this is what the final statement. I think that that level of communication would have gone a long way towards mitigating the frustration. And I do feel like this is a little bit of a self-inflicted wound, because, you know, as we discussed in the last meeting, we need to find ways to fund some of these projects in the future, and we depend on the goodwill of our citizens to do that. So that's my piece.
One of the things I think that's great, one of the things we've started using for some of our construction signs is QR codes that then take to the project webpage or something like that. You know, you see them on listings for houses and stuff like that that take you to the listing. And so that's just a nice way to get people right to the information they're after or interested in. So I think that's also a good way on some of the signs to communicate what's going on as well.
I think we brought it up last meeting or in the meeting before about thinking about ways to improve communication as a city as a whole. And that, you know, a big part of that stems from the bond not passing because for the water line, because I think most people didn't really understand what it meant. And, you know, there really hasn't been, you know, really a concerted effort, I think, to focus on what that communication looks like and how the city can do better from a public works standpoint.
To follow up from Jeff's suggestion, if you have the QR code, could it take you to a project summary on the web page, update? We got this done, especially at the beginning of the project, it's done a fabulous idea on when closings are going to take place, and they were, I haven't paid as much attention to it, but I know Alan was around, boy, when they said they were going to be done, they were done, and you knew exactly when you could get to the airport going certain ways. And then they said, thank you. Anyway, that's an aside, but just to have some place where people can go, you don't need to, you know, be granular about what you put up there because deadlines missed and whatever, but just so people know generally what to expect.
All right, it's all fair.
Lovely. Part of what the city has given the committee for community involvement work plan is to work with the CAGs in regards to city projects, and making sure that word gets out and finding the right ways to get that message out. I didn't think it was going to come about this, but I'm glad that it has. And you're lucky because the chair of that committee sits on this committee as well. So I'm going to take this information to them and say, this is a simple way that we can immediately communicate with the people who need the information, which is just a book you are. So thank you for that. I'll take that under advisement and take that to the committee and say, hey, and luckily I had talked to the person who works on the website, so.
And Southport Water Board is also talking about how do we get word out, because they have some large capital projects that could impact rates, and we have the 5% cap on rate increases. And so if we want to change that, we have to go to the voters. If we're going to go to the voters and ask them to raise that cap, they're going to need to know what it's all about.
Which is where I thought we would come into play. But, you know, this is another way where you're just talking amongst the committee helps advance the cause, so to speak. So.
All right, Coastal, thank you. I do know that, yes, communication can be better on all of our projects, and I do appreciate the feedback when it comes to that kind of stuff. And any means we can do it that doesn't involve more bodies is the best we can do. Because we've only got a staff of 4, and it's not enough to do everything in the city all the time. We've got 3 or 4 different construction projects going on right now that I'm trying to, like, honestly, just keep my head around what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We've got a lot of stuff happening, but it can lead to issues like this where communication is not being kept up as well as it could be.
Another thing I would mention is telling your neighbors to use the app. Mm-hmm. and report this on the app, because if nobody in the city knows what's happening except your neighbors, then you're not reporting it on the app. So that's one of the ways that we are using to communicate as well. For Danielle.
All right. Kevin, I think we went out of order a little bit, but that's okay.
Yep, and I think next on the agenda is for your presentations or your stuff, correct?
Oh, yeah. If you guys really want to hear about that, you can do it.
Well, we still haven't approved the agenda. We approved the note.
Approved the notes, yep.
We skipped over that. We do that every single meeting, I think.
Yeah.
I did this last time as well.
I apologize. Is there a reason we approved the agenda? Just out of curiosity, that one seems a bit, I'm not familiar with that requirement, I guess.
You're asking the wrong person. We do it in every meeting.
I suppose, okay. So people can add things if they want to, or say we're not ready to talk about this today if they want to remove something.
So what was funny is I was at a utility board meeting in Ellensburg, Washington, and they had the same thing. They noticed that. People have the same fight. It was, I don't know.
I'm fine to do it. I just, yeah, that wasn't anything I was thinking of. I apologize. So, can I get a motion to approve the agenda, or would somebody like to amend the agenda that was sent out?
I move that we approve the agenda.
I second.
Anybody oppose? Okay, agenda's approved. I went out of order. I apologize, but I think now, Clark, that is up to you for the discussion of the CFP.
Yes, give me 1 second to find where Morgan has hidden us from me.
Along those lines, I sat in the CCI meeting in May, convinced that there was somebody sitting next to me that we didn't be hidden. Convinced that there's some thing next to me that needed to be included in the minutes, mm-hmm. because it was a new person. And I'm watching the video, I was like, wrong meeting.
This is not the right table. Standby. No. It's not a PowerPoint though, which just seems odd. Let me try to keep here. This looks right-ish. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some other design up.
Emails. Hope that's not shared. It's not one more either. That's my one. Okay. Jeff, can we see this now?
Yes, I can see that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so an overview of kind of the 6-year capital improvement plan for water specifically, and we can go into a couple of the others, if like sanitary storm. I don't know that I have much information on the storm side, be a couple sanitary projects in there. So you're gonna see on the water system improvement side, so this line item here, these are our pipeline replacement projects like is going on right now. These are our bigger ticket items, and because of the cost, we've had to space them out every other year so that we can do some more general maintenance projects in the middle. This is the funding issue, that we don't have enough money to do all the work that's in our actual capital or master plan for water, which we've talked about. It's kind of the issue we always talk about and hear about, how do we get there.
And every meeting I think I ask, where is this money sitting, who's collecting the interest, etc., etc.? You know, is that, you know, because we took out money to cover the pipeline.
Yep.
Where we haven't spent it yet.
Nope.
So where's that sitting? Where are we, who's getting that interest?
Because not because of city council, because of my experience in government finance, that money is sitting in the state investment fund, in the investment pool fund. This year, finance has also come to council and asked us to approve a investment program because of that money, more of it is we're approaching the cap on the local government investment pool. So there will be some money put in some other investments, also very safe investments, very low risk. So the interest that's in there is attributed to the water fund or the sewer, wherever the money came from, it's getting its interest allocated to that.
Okay. And I remember hearing that discussion at the budget meeting.
Yeah, and the fact that we did take out the loan for that with the intention that we would be spending it, and it just hadn't happened, is also not really on our timeline. Yeah. That's an ODOT thing, and I do believe we had asked them a while back, please send us a bill for something so that we can maybe start
saying that. I heard that the city got a bill, the first bill, yep. Finally, after many, many requests and pretty far along into the project.
It's so just for reference, it's running the exact same way at West. We've gotten one bill from ODOT so far, and they've built the Westland side of our pipeline, not off the bridge yet, but we've gotten a single bill as well. So for what it's worth, it's not an outlier. It's not any less frustrating.
I don't know if that's, I remember that. We, yeah. I don't know if that's because it's federally funded or that's an ODOT thing. I don't know. Money was weird.
Yeah. It's a strange dynamic to work with ODOT. Try to be a good partner. Still get a lot of feedback. Know what's going on all the time.
Is it a function of this project being delayed, or for a procurement standpoint? Then I think about cost escalation on materials, and are we protected against that? And
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, we asked that we had a meeting with them, site need to kind of look and see the progress, but, and we asked the question that, do we have material procured for this yet? And the answer was some of it. So, well, then let us pay for what we have procured to start this process. And it was still delayed by 7 months before we ever got an invoice again. So I don't know what's going on, to be honest with you. We don't get a lot of updates.
Jeff, you know more about this than I do these days, but it was a hard bid. So there is an escalate there, as far as I know. Any extras or whatever, I don't think on that project, I don't think they're related to putting pipes on.
There's definitely been cost increases for ODOT holistically, but not for any. I think we've been communicating with the new PM, Chris Agwan, is kind of our person that we've coordinated with about any kind of cost impacts, or, they found a storage tank that wasn't shown anywhere, that kind of stuff. So. But nothing from it's 5 years later, the costs go up just because, that's not been part of any conversation.
So here's what we have kind of laid out for 6 years. If there's any questions from the water standpoint on the projects that we've got kind of earmarked on here, let me know. Like I said, the water system improvements are the ones I'm more personally focused on, making sure we get those rolling so that we try to keep up on the backlog of maintenance on these older lines that need to be replaced. The automated meter reader program is another one we'd love to have done like in one big chunk, but it kind of doesn't make sense. Because then once they all go bad, we have to replace them all again. So we want to spread them out a little bit. This will save us money in the long run on meter reading services, which has notoriously been hard to get contracts for, and they're reliable.
There's like only one game in town. I know that very well.
And they aren't very reliable. So say the other thing, I mean, some of these other general ones on here, our pump station maintenance, electrical upgrades to a few pump stations. We just redid, obviously from the sewer side, I just redid the Cal Road pump station. We'd have electrical upgrades on some future ones on that end as well. And then this large diameter steel pipe replacement project is just one that was noted in the master plan. So we wanted to try to get it on the list and find a place to put it. Unfortunately, it's down there. 30 is where we can fit it in. And then obviously down here, some SEC costs for some of our work that we're doing. So those are those fees we get on all the developments that come in. They don't really go very far in a project sense. So you got to kind of bank them, 5 years out. And hope we can have a project we can, fit those into. And then the credit stuff down here for the I-205 and the operations complex.
I guess my general question is, take out the water line and take out the operations complex, which are the big items for 2026 that lose about 9.9 or for maintenance. Essentially, is that
enough?
Is that enough?
No,
it isn't. No, it's not.
But it looks like that's kind of evenly spread across because those projects are front loaded. And if you look at without that, you've got the 725 and the 1.2, and then you got 2 million, 1.5, 2 million,
yep.
2.2. So it's kind of flowed out.
But again,
relatively evenly.
In long term, I mean, seeing the master plan, it's got millions and millions of dollars of the work that we need to do, and we'll never.
We're deferring or yeah. We're pushing.
We're pushing, we're continuing to push it out.
Yeah.
We had this is why we had, you know, this came up at the last meeting that we need to figure out a way to increase rates somehow more than we are allowed to, or come up with alternate funding for some of this.
How do we go about, you know, preparing and inviting the council that we want to, you know, put other proposals to raise rates? I mean, we've been dancing around. It's got to happen. What's the steps we have to take to move it sure. forward, you know?
Because it's cost us more.
It, the longer we take, the more, you know, and the more lead time, the more we can prep the people. So, and I know we've got to plan it based on who's coming out with this and that as well. So
it's got to be a ballot measure. So you got to schedule it for the ballot.
And you don't want it on this one because that one's going to fail. You want it on this one. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody yet. Westland School.
No, you're not wrong. No,
but that's going to be taken into. And so, what are the steps that we take to?
So that we're working on the first step now,
okay.
Which is finding a way to kind of decouple from South Fork.
Okay.
What do you mean decouple?
So, Carol, can you explain this better than I can?
We have the 5% cap. The city of Oregon City has a 3% cap.
Right.
But Oregon City's bill shows treatment as a separate line item, and they just increase treatment by whatever the cost of treatment is, and their 3% is on distribution. In West Lynn, where our bills are not set up that way, our 5% cap is on everything. So if South Fork doubled their rates, that would really eat into the amount that we could use for distribution because we would have to be paying them for all the water that we purchase that they have treated. So I know that the city attorney and Lauren, the finance director, are looking at how can we go about bifurcating the bill. And the other challenge we have with our bill is that everybody in the city gets 7 units of water as part of the base. And the good part of that is that you know you've got this set amount. If nobody uses any water, you still got the set amount of revenue. The bad part about that is there's a lot of people in the community that don't use 7 that are paying that are paying that amount. So what we're trying to do now is separate those so that we can accommodate whatever South Fork's rate increases are and then still have the 5% increase on the distribution part of the bill. Now, I've got kind of a different idea that I would like, and if we're gonna be doing this communication blast, instead of going to the voters and saying, hey, just this once we want more than 5% or we want this language to separate that. I would like to remove the 5% because having worked in water and in finance side of water for 12 years, 5% is an arbitrary number that has nothing to do with anything. And therefore, we get a 5% increase every year. Even if this year we go, oh, we don't have that many projects that we're ready to do. So this year we only need 3, but we know next year we can't get 8. So the 5% happens every year. I would like to see the work of this advisory board elevated to where you're truly making recommendations based on capital needs and growth and everything else, and making those recommendations to the council that this year we need this percentage increase. Whereas right now, you sit here and listen to all this, you know that we don't have enough money to do the projects, but you're limited by that 5%. So what do you say? 5%. So anyway, that's my spiel. I have talked to many of my neighbors, and I've been told by many people that nobody will vote to remove that cap.
I get how they're tied to that number. Is there another metric outside of, you know, us saying, you know, is there another metric that could be used that is realistic?
I think I mentioned this at a meeting, a few meetings ago.
Like I've had this conversation before.
I think it would be prudent to hire a company to work, to look at rates, water, wastewater, surface water, look at rates based on the master plans. What should the rates be to cover the work, not only that we need to do, but that we have staff has the capacity to manage, because we're still not going to do everything tomorrow, right? There's only so much capacity with staff to manage, but to look at that capacity, what do the rates need to do? And does that mean borrowing more money, you know, revenue bonds, and using those revenue bonds to do some of the more critical projects?
The master plans are all these 20-year plans. So
yeah,
this is just a bite.
Yeah.
Small piece of it.
Is there any like ORS limits, any state limits, code limits on rate escalation? No.
Whatever your community can stomach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or the revolt happens, yeah. I guess.
And my experience is that overall in Clackamas County, water providers have spent the last 20, 25, 30 years trying to keep rates really, really low. And there's,
you know, I was here for the when the 3% came to be, and it was because they did raise rates for a long, long, long time, and then all of a sudden, just like your house, you don't do maintenance, right?
Yeah.
you're gonna have a big project, and happened. Yeah. And they went out to try to double rates and people.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my gosh, I need a roof and a water heater, and so and that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. So part of that first step, and we have talked about a rate study. If we are working on a piece of that right now. That's second item here. I mean, we have to do a new water FCC update. We are working with the same group to work on a rate study.
Yeah. Are you working with FCS?
FCS. Yeah. And we just got the contract out to them in the last couple of weeks to get started on that. So I think we are going to start seeing kind of what Colonel Carroll talked about, which I think is a good idea. Look at our master plan. Tell us what our rates should be to accomplish these goals. And then we can bring that information to the group to say, all right, this is what they're saying. And it's going to be kind of nuts looking, right? But then we can come up with a more reasonable plan about what the increases should be.
Well, live in a 5-star community, you have to take it costs.
Yeah. And Wesley water rates might, if you compare them to other communities, I don't know. I mean, I see
very low.
I see my bill go up and I'm not thrilled, but compared to other people,
yeah,
they're probably low.
Very, very low.
When I was the finance director at Clackamas River Water, we would do that comparison every year, and Westland is at the bottom. And I'm not looking at all of the service, just water, because Clackamas River Water was just drinking water. But Westland was like the lowest.
That was Gladstone.
It's
every year it's in our fee schedule, mm-hmm, the updated fee schedule, yeah, where we kind of sit in neighboring communities of kind of like size, and we are usually
in
the bottom two or three,
yeah,
yeah,
total, like it, you know, for all of the fees.
And you know, I don't know, something happened, I can't remember, with the water system work on the reservoir, or there was something, and the comments like on next door, people don't have any idea
they don't
where their water comes
they
from.
Don't want to pay for upkeep, yeah, because it costs money, but the minute it breaks, they're, yeah, like, why is it
on your tab and it's there,
so yeah, yeah. Based on my experience in Hollywood, they don't tell you what they're fixing either. It just says improvement projects, your water fees at work, and like, well, what are you doing? Like, it doesn't say anywhere. So
well, I know when I lived on Nixon, now I live on Kenthor, but when I lived on Nixon, they replaced the water line on Nixon in the early 2000s. And I think it was a 1.5-inch water line serving all of those houses on Nixon Avenue. And they replaced it to, I think, the minimum standard now is 8-inch. Is that correct? Yeah.
And you wonder why you have no water as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, my husband was home, so he's out there talking to him. It was, it should have water line serving all those homes. Yeah. Not the service line to the house, the line to the street.
I have the replacement hydrants there too. And I just think that we should be screaming at the neighborhood, like, we're making you safer right now.
Okay, well.
This fire flow related.
In 20 minutes, the Robinwood Neighborhood Association meeting starts at the Robinwood Station. So when we leave here, you can run down there and chat.
And the reservoir by the high school that is here for all of that.
Yeah.
It's like people.
Well.
Put a fire up.
So this, similarly, Melanie might have been at this pre-app for the Wes's new pump house down on 4th.
No, but I heard about it.
Yeah. So the pump house on 4th essentially handles 45% of the waste from West Lynn, and it needs to be upgraded. And the new force main needs to be installed. And we had a lot of backlash about people not wanting any kind of work down there because it's close to the wetlands. And I didn't know how to more clearly state that it's 45% of the waste in the city goes through this pump station.
Well, how about if it fails, it's dumping that waste into the wetlands?
So it's very similar. Like we're trying to explain, like, you're going to want this versus the alternative if we do nothing. And I know it's inconvenient, and I know it seems awful, but I can see things being so much worse if we don't. No. It's a hard message.
Not to mention having zero seismic resilience on something like that either, right?
When they did the Lowest, the Lake Oswego Interceptor Sewer, I was working for the city of Lake Oswego at the time. They actually had divers go down and take pictures of the corroded sewer pipes in the lake. And so everybody was okay with that, even though it doubled their sewer bill, because they didn't want to see poop float in the lake.
Imagine.
There's a surf spot in Los Angeles called, you know, pipes.
Yeah.
Because it's right there by the Hyperion treatment plant. And anytime water overflows, it goes right out into the ocean.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're surfing in. And that's what you're going to be. And I hear that's how the Willamette River used to be.
Yeah.
And it'll go back to being that. And is that pipe not somehow connected to the fringe pond down there as well?
No.
But that's a different one, because I know there's one over there that's being rented out and used as well.
Not connected.
Okay.
Is this a water SDC match? Is that an expenditure or an income?
It's an expenditure. So we're using some of our SDC funds as part of our 205 match. That we have to give to ODOT, feds, whoever. I don't know where that actual number came from, the 1.2. It seems like a pretty impressive STC match.
Is that something like, in order to get this money, the city has to match it with that money?
We have to put up, we have to participate in some way.
Looks like 10%.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be a. It's not a revenue, that would be an expenditure for us.
Okay, so it's part of that 205 financing, it's just the funding source.
Yeah. So obviously not included in our package, but I will, here's our 6-year plan for the environmental services capital improvements. It's very similar as far as where some of our money needs to go. And then the alternating years of bigger project versus maintenance projects. This fund is a little, it's got a little less money total in it than water does. So to spread it out, it looks a little harsher as you get out there a little farther. We front loaded a few, some of these storm cold replacements, and this one is honestly just for a, some new storm sewers on a street that they buck, or one of those streets over there in that area that has nothing. There's no storm sewer whatsoever. So Again, stuff that has been called out in master plans for a while that we're, again, trying to address that.
So, sorry to.
No.
One more question.
Yep.
The I-205 water line, it's costing less than $12 million. Is the SDC match part of that $12 million, or it's an addition to that?
Addition to $12 million, because it's more than $12 million.
Okay.
That's street, no, it's the street, that's different. Okay, so that was it. Any, there are a couple extra ones in there, in case anyone, we have any other questions? And I kind of address item B on the business side as far as the rate study and kind of moving forward with that.
What's the schedule on the operations complex? Is that on schedule for construction in 2026?
Yes, it is on schedule for construction in 2026. We will not be starting before that.
Yeah. So that bucket's in the water bucket.
Yep. Yep. Currently still haven't, it needs to go continue through land use. It's not land use approved yet. And I know they hired the CMGC for the project. Skanska is going to be doing the construction. And they are working through the budget right now with them. So doing some value engineering at this point already.
And there's an owner's advisor in place for that too.
Yes.
Remember seeing
the Klosch group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, ideally we would get started the first part of 2026 with construction. I don't see it happening anytime before that, based on the rest of the hoops we need to jump through. If you could get started before that, that'd be awesome.
Is the land use going on schedule, or is that?
It is going on schedule, but it's just a lot.
Yeah, it always takes.
Yeah, it takes a long time. I mean, it really wasn't zoned, so I got zoning right for it. It's a conditional
use permit for
use permit from the whole thing. I'm supposed to be reviewing something on it. I haven't looked at yet, so I can do that.
Well, can it be zoned in such a way that it doesn't require a conditional use permit?
I don't believe so. Now you're talking about planning stuff. I'm gonna stay out of that. I'm gonna adjust enough to get myself in trouble. But yes, ideally, 2026 will be the big construction year for that. All right. Any other questions on budgeting stuff?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And just, I might need to go back for context here, but why do we get the first 7 for this flat rate?
From a financial perspective, it gives you a stable revenue, even if nobody uses water. So let's say we have a severe drought and everybody has to cut back. You still have that amount of revenue. Whereas if people don't use water, if they only use 1 or 2 units and they're paying $1.50 a unit for those base units, then all of a sudden your revenue could really take a dive if there is demanded conservation.
I understand that, but it seems like that would also incentivize people to not conserve.
Right.
During most of the year, unless they reach over 7 units.
And I think that level was determined, say, for a family of this many people in a house this size. And, you know, looking at average usage, but you know, I certainly know, you know, many of the retired people in my neighborhood, in my part of Robinwood, with, you know, just, you know, a couple living there or even a single person living there, they're not using that much water.
We're not using over 7 unless we're watering.
What are you trying to say about my left green mouth?
In the summer, I am more than using.
There's been a lot of
uncertainty on the revenue side, but it doesn't help out on the cost side at all. So we don't know, like, if our supplier changes rates, it won't help you.
The treatment piece is really a pretty small portion. Yeah. The distribution piece is much. In fact, one of the board members on Southport that's on the Oregon City Commission brought in this bill and was saying, you know, like, the out of his, you know, water bill that's, you know, like, say, $40 a month. $9 is the treatment piece. So
also, the capital infrastructure for water treatment and distribution and collection treatment is based on peak. And so the infrastructure that you have to put in doesn't, you have to put it in for the peak times and not. The base is
fire flow and financial.
Yeah, well, what I'm getting at here is it seems like there might be a way to restructure rates without changing.
Well, no, they specifically tried that before you moved here. And because when you do a conservation pricing model, somebody in the population is going to have an increase of greater than 5%.
Yes.
Therefore, they had to go to the voters and the voters said, no, thank you.
Is that what it says though? Does it say that nobody can receive a rate of greater than 5% or the city
well,
can?
Well, it says the rates can't go up by more than 5%. And if your rate goes up by 5.2, even if mine goes down, then the voters have to approve it and it did not get approved. And that was.
I would interpret that as the average rate.
Yeah, that was like 10 or 15 years ago, I think, when that happened.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to get at here is that we seem to be facing a lot of increasing costs on the supply side, right, from Southport. The static rate structure on the consumer side doesn't really help address that.
Is that something that can be looked at and possibly addressed by this first step that we're taking?
Again, my opinion, if we go to the voters, I think we go all in. And we say, we're changing the rate structure, we're going to do conservation pricing. And
all at once, you know, overwhelm them and say, this is because that's the only chance you're going to get. The more piecemeal, the more difficult.
Right.
And you say, this is going to save some, it's going to cost some,
yeah,
you know, but restructures everything. It makes everything more fair. I think you have to look at everything comprehensively.
What is some of, I know what Oregon City does, probably Gladstone, the other Southport members. What does LO do or some of the others that are having, you know, had huge capital, Hillsborough?
They don't have it in their charter. As far as I know, the only places that it's in the charter, and Gladstone gets theirs from North Clackamas County Water Commission, not Southport.
Oh,
but
you're right.
The only places that I know that have it in their charter is Oregon City and Westland. So,
and that was because of the bombshell, I think it was in the 90s.
Well, and
everything about rates and that sort of thing, government happened in the 90s.
Part of it was there was a portion of the community that felt like rate increases were going to build up the fund so that we could provide water to the Stafford Basin.
Yep.
And that's where it started. That's where the 5% came from, because there was concern that rates were going up arbitrarily. And now I'm going to say 5% is as arbitrary as you can get. What is that? What's that tied to? Like, why?
So in order to stop Not In My Backyard, they said, we're not going to build up a fund or take care of our current system.
So that's part of FCS's scope when they're opening up the topic of doing a rate study. Are they looking at alternatives for what that looks like?
For rate structure.
Yeah, for rate structure.
I don't know if it's explicitly there, but it can be.
Yeah.
I would agree with some of that. We need to look at all of the options, and it's an all or nothing, and rip off that band-aid.
Yeah, I would also say,
and do well, and it's the price of living in, you know, a good city.
The selling it has to start happening, the education.
Well, before we get
information, that has to happen way before.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Step one, though, is having the information. Mm-hmm. Then we can start having the conversation of, all right, this is what we're presented with. How do we educate folks on what this means and how we will address it as a ballot measure?
Yeah, and you can do open houses, you know, utility advisory board members at the Wednesday market. You know, we have a lot of avenues.
Okay. I nominate Chris Myers. He seems to be really great.
I think Chris will adamantly tell you no.
He hates me at this point.
That poor guy has been to more community events than anyone else.
I'll just add to what Dean said, and I think you know, there was a lot of head nods, but from a communication perspective, once the ballot measure's out there, you can't talk supportively. So I think there's an amount of time you need to spend up front really informing and teaching the public of what the benefit is and what will happen if it doesn't, you know. I think you need to spend all that time up front conveying the what happens with a yes and what happens with a no, because once the ballot measure's out there, you really, from a city perspective, can't speak to it in that manner any longer. So I think, yeah, it needs to be thoughtfully done. And I think the safety aspect of some of these things as well needs to be kind of a topic of conversation. But from a, you know, Wes, I think, you know, our intention, at least when we look at our long-term financial plan, is we're going to see, I mean, we're going to ask the board, you know, whether they give it to us or not, but we're going to ask the board for the next 10 years, most likely, for about a 5% increase every year. And I'd say one of the messages is predictable and stable rate increases, not nothing for 10 years and then 50%, right? That's really hard for people to swallow. So if you keep it predictable and stable, people can plan for it, and you can plan for it in your long-term financial planning as well. So just to throw in a few thoughts out there on that topic.
I just feel like the city needs to take a look at a rate study saying, what do we need to start knocking off some of these projects that are in our water system master plan and all of our master plans. And so the first year or two could be big bumps, and the goal would be to get it to a stable 5% or some number. I just don't think that should be, I personally don't think that should be in the charter.
I mean, some of that too, like what you're talking about, is, and what resonates, I think, with ratepayers is, what are the level of service expectations? What do they actually want out of their system? And kind of create messaging around what that is. And that's through either a community, associations or whatever that would look like. But there needs to be just this common understanding of what people's expectations are in level of service. And what's it going to take to be able to meet that?
What do you describe? I mean, I know level of service means, but what does it mean?
What's important to people? Like, no. Fire flow as an example.
Okay.
Is that an expectation that,
well,
somebody
it's
should
required have? Required fire, so it's not really
it is,
to have.
But in your 1.5-inch example, yeah. I mean, there are probably areas of the city that don't meet that. Maybe. Maybe there are. Right
there. There are less.
Now, but yeah,
we've made strides to make sure we have adequate fire flow capacity everywhere. There's some, what we want is redundancy, mm-hmm. so that when there is fire, like if there happens to be fire flow, people in the area can still get water, right? Because that does take a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. And also put a lot of stress on the pipes.
That's right. The bus line makes it.
The other thing I think about, Lynn, is how often do you want a boil water notice? Because we'd have main breaks.
Yeah.
Like, what's the, like, well, how likely are we to have, from a level of service, right? That's a communication that if we defer this maintenance, there's more likely to have more of those across the city, kind of thing. That's the level of service thing that comes to my mind at any rate that people are impacted by.
Yeah. And to Dean's point about starting early, and, you know, maybe your average person doesn't care, but there's broad information that you can provide. Where does your water come from?
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't know. That's the first thing I know about where it even takes place. I know where the water comes from. So, and I know you only have four people. So, but I think just baseline education around drinking surface water and surface water is a little easier because once it's on top of the, people know when something's going wrong. But anyway, the other stuff's on the ground. But I just think broad education, man, and to find ways to start bringing the base up. What people know
before. I've been talking about putting a QR code, say, on the utility bill that takes people to a two-question survey. And it's different every month, two questions, and that gives the city information about what people already know and what people want. And so you can, you know, you'd have to, it'll take some work to figure out what those questions are, but people don't want to do big, long surveys. They get tired in the middle, they don't finish it. If they just had two questions and they got it with their utility bill every month, and even if they got their electronic utility bill, they could still click on that and go and answer the two questions.
And tell them, this is two questions. We're not going to ask you two, and then it's 5 pages long.
Or make it a trivia, like the dry clean.
Yeah. Anyway, I've been talking with the counselors and with the city manager about trying to do something like that as a way to jumpstart the communication.
And one of my whole things as part of my involvement, and whatever the hell I'm involved in, who the hell knows, is that whole communication as well, because the old ways don't seem to be working. And so there's a lot of new ways to reach the people. Let's use these new ways and see if that reaches new people, you know, because the old people already know. And I don't mean that by old people, I mean.
Well, no.
And then technically I'm one of them too, so.
They don't know.
Clackamas River Water used to do surveys and ask people if they knew where their water came from. The name of your water company is Clackamas River Water. Half of the people thought the water came from Bull Run.
Just missed it.
I have to grab my daughter home from dance class, so I apologize, but I'm going to have to hop off now. It's a few minutes after 7, so I'm going to have to grab her.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. We'll wrap up these last couple items, and you'll see the notes when they come out.
Excellent. Thanks, Clark. And like I said, if you or Eric want to sit down and chat about anything in the between meetings, please get a hold of me.
Yep, we'll do.
Sorry for talking so much.
Oh, no, it was a good conversation tonight. Thank you very much.
So in the essence of getting through this, it is now 7. I will give a quick update on the waterline project that has ravaged the neighborhood. And I apologize. As we've talked about in the past, this waterline project is happening on, you know, several fronts, Upper Middle, Arbor. We got a little piece on 43, Reed, Parker, Dollar, and Santa Anita, all having water line replacements right now. Currently, all of the new water line is in the ground. It is now being tested. I think all the two have been fully passed for bacteria, so we're good there. Now we're starting the tie-over process, which is what's happening on Arbor, and then we'll have it on Upper Mid Hill in the coming weeks, which can be trying. And then following that, all the restoration will occur. For your reference, Upper Mid Hill, it's a full mill and overlay on the entire road from Merrillhurst all the way to Arbor. Arbor will get just a final patch on the water line. Yep, right down the middle. All the other roads will also just get a final patch as part of that. Except for Reed Street, which is about the size of this table width-wise, there is nothing left of Reed Street. So we will have to put that one all back together as well.
And I think one of the other things that, you know, we could have pointed out on the QR code is that all of these water projects were planned in conjunction with transportation people, so that we weren't tearing up the streets, doing the project, putting in the street, and then tearing up the street, replacing the streets.
Right.
So it's all happening at the same time.
Yes, because the next piece of that will be the road program, which is going to start in September to address the other portion of Upper Mid Hill from Arbor to the new subdivision that's going in there. That piece of College Hill.
Mystery subdivision.
Yeah. Piece of College Hill that is gravel at this point, and some stuff up on the hillside, Hillcrest area. The big one for that, it's not really germane to utilities, but I'll tell you anyways, from a road construction project, we are going to do Hidden Springs from Santa Anita down to Bluegrass Way. It's starting to fall apart. It's gotten a lot more traffic than I think it was anticipated. And then the big one is Rosemont. From essentially like Shannon Lane all the way down to Summit, which is, yeah, it's pretty bad.
When I, that's a bad place to walk.
Yeah.
There's no place to get out of the way.
Yeah. So upcoming, that's what's happening next. So when I say I only have four people, we got to manage all those. And then we also have to manage all the developments going at the same time, which there's still a lot of development happening in Westland, which is good and bad. Busy, but.
Sorry, I should know this. Who owns the project roundabout on Stafford and Childs?
That is the county.
That's the county. Okay. We got nothing to do with it. Okay.
Other than taking in the orphan traffic.
I was just going to say, because that was, you're talking about the traffic. I'm like, well, that's been a mess lately.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, we've had a lot of people ask about, you know, changing timing on the lights, which are also ours. Those are ODOTs. So.
On 43?
No, on 8th and Salamo, like at the bottom.
That's a mess.
Oh.
Yeah, one of those intersections is messed up anyway and on a very long timer because the pad to set it off is broken and there's no money to replace it.
This is an ODOT issue. It's an ODOT thing and we can't really, we can only ask somebody.
I know this because I've been down this.
So.
Road before.
So we're going to be stuck, you know, kind of in this pattern where we're going to have increased traffic on Wyoming Falls Drive, on Salamo, on Rosemont for the next 2 years. So.
Yep.
There's no, this is what progress looks like. It's bumpy.
Wait on Hidden Springs till after like it's fixed because I got to go back. It's all the time because I can't go down.
ODOT has no plans on fixing that pad because they have no money to fix it.
Not right now.
So, yeah, when the Stafford stuff is done, it will be great. I've seen the final plans look awesome and well, it's needed there from, you know, remember the best that happens there. So once it's finished, it'll be great. It'll alleviate a lot of traffic, but I mean, we're 2 years plus out.
I remember trying to take kids to, or pick up kids from cross country meets and having to come to the end of Rosemont and turn left on Stafford before the traffic started. People were backed up almost to where Trillium Creek School is now some days. So.
Yeah.
That traffic circle was a big benefit.
We'll add another one.
Why not?
Well, I think there should be one at Pimlico.
I'm helping you right now.
On 43.
Oh.
That needs something.
That needs a light.
A lot of accidents.
Okay.
That's a wireline update. Timeline on that, we hope to have everything wrapped up by the end of this month through the second week of September. I'm making no promises on that right now. We are fighting the contractor on everything that's happening.
So I come.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I'm not going to get into it today. I've been frustrated. It's Tuesday and it feels like it's. But yeah, we're trying to do we don't want to have multiple shutdowns, folks water while they try to do all these tie overs and we don't. We're struggling to make them understand that they need to have an organized system in place before we're allowed to do it. And they are anything but organized. Okay. I said I wasn't going to use it. Any board discussion or announcements that we have not already covered?
Again, I'm talking way too much. I'm supposed to be an observer, but Kevin Bollington did send me a thing that evidently the Oregonian on Instagram did a thing about the sparkling water. And
they did. Where is that? In Willamette, maybe.
Yeah.
I had an interaction on Blue Sky with this reporter from Rolling Stone about the sparkling water.
So I had somebody stop me on a bike ride about the sparkling water.
It's okay. I said I was from Wesley.
Little known fact, but it costs less than $200 a year to operate. Less than $160 a year to operate from what my source.
Is it working?
What's the source?
Yes.
What's the source and what makes it?
It's just a carbonated tank. It's the same water that they use to make the sodas in our, yeah, it's the same.
It's a commercial soda stream.
The same when they service Jay Willie's, which is across the street, the same company services the tank and the.
And yes, it's working, yeah. And so anyway, Kevin Bonn can say, hey, you're the UAB, that's something the utility advisory board needs to know. So if you want to see it, it's a,
I didn't know we had one.
I may have been bragging to the reporter from Rolling Stone. I said that we have one and get this, it's free. And he's like, this is an idea I can get behind. So if you read about Westland's Rolling Stone.
The Oregon NLM, NLM Instagram, if anybody wants to see it. So.
The Oregon water bottle, which I thought was nice.
If there's nothing else, you guys would like to adjourn, I would be all for it.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Or you just want somebody to say adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second that motion. Saying no objection, I think the motion carries. Or you could say it like I did. Oh, look, it is. It's 7:11, time for a slushy.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah.